Let's go before the Lord in prayer. God, it is a great joy to be gathered here today. I could think of few places we'd rather be than in your house, gathered with your people, and not just any people, but our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, those who are part of this fellowship. We thank you for those who have returned, having been gone. We thank you for those who are able to be here today, having been unable to get out because of the weather the last 3 weeks. We thank you for those friends and guests, Lord, from even other states that are with us today. And we pray, God, that this time now around your word is impactful. God, I just so desire and want to be a blessing to these people whom I love. And Lord, I know that my love is nothing compared to your love, and that you long to bless them to the fullest measure. And God, I acknowledge my shortcomings and limitations as a man to try and accurately, passionately, clearly convey the glories of heaven. Lord, it in some ways is indescribable. Lord, added to it my own human frailty and sin. And so we're asking now for you to do your work in me so you can have your way in the hearts of the hearers here, that they would receive this message in faith and that they would act upon its truths in a way that would be pleasing to you and that would build up this, your church. We pray all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 1987, American Express trademarked what is now a very familiar phrase. Their tagline was this: membership has its privileges. Membership has its privileges. As we all know, many businesses offer special benefits in order to encourage brand loyalty. Let me ask by way of hands, how many of you are members of Amazon Prime? Free two-day shipping. And a vault of free entertainment choices belong to those who are members of Amazon Prime. In a different industry, airlines offer many special benefits to loyal members, from preferred seating to free baggage checks. If you haven't flown in the last 5 years, yes, they charge you $25 now a bag. So that is a benefit of being a loyal member of some major airline. Some airlines will offer those who fly frequently more miles so that they can fly for free, perhaps take a family vacation that they otherwise couldn't afford. Not to mention, many of these airlines have a very special VIP area. You know, in a crowded airport terminal where everybody's just looking for a little bit of sanity of mind, if you're a member, you will receive a privilege. And so this is the way in which the world often thinks and even operates. And I'm reminded that in the economy of grace, that our benevolent God offers countless eternal privileges, eternal benefits to those who remain faithful to the end. And this is truly remarkable when you think of it, because God does not owe to us anything. And God doesn't need us. And yet God, because he is God and because he is kind and he is merciful and he is good and he is so gracious, he not only saves us, but he also promises us heaven. And heaven is full of blessings. Heaven is full of privileges for those who would remain faithful to him. And again, this is truly remarkable, because if God, in fact, gave us what we deserve, all of us would spend eternity in hell. Friend, the blessings and benefits of biblical Christianity are unparalleled. One has no equal to any other membership that is offered in this world by the world to fallen men, that would exceed that which God has prepared and the blessings and benefits that God promises to us if we would hold fast to him until the end. And because of the magnitude of these blessings, these merciful benefits that God promises to us if we would remain faithful to the end, friends, it is these things that has fueled and inspired faithful Christians for thousands of years. There really is nothing new under the sun. Every benefit, every promise, every blessing, every privilege that we are seeing here in Revelation 20, 21, and 22 are the same blessings, promises, benefits, and privileges that God's people have been instructed by and encouraged and really has really lifted them out of the pews to greater fidelity and more sacrificial service and honor to God. And this not only extends back 2,000 years to when the church first started at Pentecost, but really many of these blessings were also included, at least in seed form, even in the Old Testament. And so the future, what God says of it and what God promises to those who believe are the same things that even the Old Testament saints looked at, held on to, and that compelled them to honor God even unto death. And so we're not surprised then in Hebrews chapter 11 that we have a hall of faith. These are people who believed God. They took God at his word. They did not see what was contained in the pages of Scripture as something that is archaic for another time and another place, but something that is profoundly practical and personal. And that if God promises this in the future, no sacrifice in this life would be too much, too great, too high a cost. I'll share you one example of someone who most of us are familiar with that sort of illustrates the point that I'm trying to make here. In the 1950s, there was a young couple by the name of Jim and Elizabeth Elliott. And the Elliots left the comforts of America, the blessings that we often take for granted. They left it all behind to bring the gospel to the Aucot Indians in the wild jungles of Ecuador. What moves a man to sacrifice certain comforts in this life in faithful service to God? Jim Elliott gives us the key before his death, where he was martyred on the mission field before God began to reap a great harvest of souls and build the church there in the jungles of Ecuador. Jim Elliott wrote what are now very, very familiar words. He said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he can never lose." So these privileges, these blessings, these promises, the ones that we're looking at in particular, are the things that Jim and Elizabeth Elliott heard of, read in the scriptures. They heard these things talked about in Bible conferences and in missions conferences. And when the Holy Spirit moved in their heart to contemplate a calling to the mission field, Jim Elliott said, "This is a no-brainer." And off he went. Now, granted, God does not call all Christians to the foreign mission field. He does not call all men and all young men who are passionate for Christ to the pastorate. He does, however, call each and every one of us to faithfully follow him and to serve others according to the precepts of Scripture. And so before we get in the text this morning, let me just charge you as your pastor. For those of you who are young, let me say this. In view of what we have been seeing about eternity future, do not waste the prime of your life
chasing the passing pleasures of sin. Do not waste your life, young people, trying to make a great name for yourself. For those of you who are old, I have a charge for you as well. Listen, in view of these prophecies and promises and blessings and benefits and privileges, don't waste your retirement collecting seashells by the seashore all year long. Scripture tells us that we are to make the most of our time on this earth because the days are short and the days are evil. That is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Beloved, we only have but one life to live. It is there and then it is gone. We have but one brief life to live for the glory and honor of the one who loved us and who gave his all for us that we might be saved. As it has been said, soon this life will be over. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm aware that some believers aren't sellouts, but they're not exactly sold out for Jesus either. There are too many Christians, especially in America, who live their life or have been living their life most recently in what I would refer to as the mushy middle. Enough of this. Do we believe these promises or not? And if we actually do, how might these blessings, these privileges of future things help us to live sold out unto the glory and honor of our God? That is my passion for us as we, again, dive down into the text of Scripture. If you're not there, I would encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation 22. In Revelation 21 and 22, to further incentivize Christian perseverance and devotion, the Lord of the church provides his people, listen to me, he provides his people with a sneak peek, pulling back the curtain of eternity. There is a group of saints, likely fewer in number, with far less to their name, in the first century, who were having the same challenges and the same temptations and the same struggles that we have, added to the fact that they were being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And so God, in order to encourage the last living apostle, who is John, and the church that was small and scattered and persecuted, says, come, take a look, not at simply this life and what God has for this present age, but for the age to come. So join me, if you will, as we take a peek behind the curtain of eternity. If I were to summarize this morning's sermon text, I would put it like this. Heavenly citizenship, or perhaps better said in view of my opening illustration, heavenly membership has certain eternal privileges. Heavenly membership has eternal privileges. Again, contrast the things that God addresses here, the blessings, the promises, the privileges, the benefits that have your name written on them if you belong to Jesus, with the things that the world offers. The world offers loyal members free frappuccinos, discounted airline tickets. And all of us were so excited, you know, three-fourths of us. Wow, we get free two-day shipping if we are members of Amazon Prime. In view of what God has in store for us who believe and belong to Christ, big loop-de-loo, right? This, friends, is amazing grace upon amazing grace. with a heavenly cherry on top. What am I talking about? Well, let's pick up the narrative here of a vision of future things, particularly in chapters 21 and 22. We're talking about the capital city of heaven, our future home, which is the New Jerusalem. This is what is referred to as the eternal state. This is what we're talking about here. Revelation 22, verse 1, God's word reads as follows. And, or then, or next, this is a continuation of snippets of what God wants us to know about eternity, believers now. This is our inheritance. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6, and he said to me, these words are faithful and true. May God add his blessing on the reading and receiving of his holy and infallible word. We return our attention this morning again to where we left off last week in the middle of verse 3. And I want you to see here, for those of you taking notes, either on paper or in your mind, that the first eternal privilege of heavenly citizenship is as follows. Number one, as royal priests, we will serve our sovereign God with joy and gladness. This is the first eternal privilege of heavenly membership. As royal priests, number one, we shall serve our Lord God with joy and gladness. Notice again verse 3. One of the most dominant images and one of the most important symbols in the book of Revelation is mentioned again here in verse 3, middle of the verse. It says, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. The Lord reigns. Let his people rejoice. God, this is not just a throne. This is the throne of all thrones. This is the throne where majesty reigns on high. And in the eternal state, our triune God will have preeminence in all things. No one will rival the preeminence and glory of God in the eternal state. And so we have, as John is looking at the things that God wants them to see and understand about the future, specifically about the eternal state, we have here this image of a throne in the center of the city upon which God and the Son of God sit. This is intended to communicate the realm of God's rule. This flows out of what happened earlier that will happen for our perspective later at the end of this present age. Remember, Jesus Christ who came will come again. Revelation 20 gives us a summary that the King of Kings will return to this earth and he will establish a future earthly kingdom. This will be a righteous realm. And this kingdom, unlike any other kingdom that has ever been, will have no end. Jesus shall reign forever. This kingdom will endure forever. And this must be so because that is exactly what God promised would happen in the reign of the Messiah. Do you guys remember back when I preached that series of messages on the great Old Testament promises of Scripture? Some of you are like, why do we go back? You know, we looked at the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant and the new covenant. And the reason for that was because Revelation is the ultimate fulfillment of so many of these promises. There's a lot that happens here that for those who know the Old Testament scriptures well, you're saying, well, of course God and his Christ reign supreme and will reign forever because God promised his people that this would happen. I assure you, friends, there is a method to my expository madness. And the better you understand the Old Testament, listen, the better you understand the Old Testament, the more you will appreciate the New Testament. So after the millennial kingdom, during the eternal state, notice then, God is reigning from the throne over the new earth and the new heavens. The question then is, okay, we know what God's up to. What are we going to be doing? Notice verse 3. Among many things, what am I going to do forever in glory? Membership has its privileges, and his bondservants shall serve him there. When the great apostle Paul referred to himself to a church that was spirit-filled and obedient, he often said this, Paul, a joyful slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that wonderful word, doulos. If the church wasn't being rebellious, he didn't have to remind them most of the times of his authority as an apostle, as he does in the book of Galatians. No, the way Paul often explained who he is, what you need to know about me, Paul said so many times, I belong to him. I am a loyal bondservant of Jesus. You see, as the apostles matured in the faith, they came to see that it is a badge of honor. Listen to me. It is a badge of honor to serve the Lord of love. Let me ask you, is this true of your ministry? You know, whether you're up front in public or whether you do stuff in private, whether it's children's ministry or youth ministries or helping out with the ladies' tea, do you view yourself as a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn with me a moment back to Revelation 1. It's been a long time since Pastor Sal began this fantastic journey of what I have the privilege to conclude with you. The very beginning of this letter, the final book of the Bible, the final prophecy of Scripture, I want you to see something here. The book begins like this, Revelation 1:1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, this is a revelation, really the highest and clearest revelation of the glory of Christ and all of his post-resurrection honor. It is a revelation about Jesus Christ, and it is a revelation from Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if we get lost, you know, filling out prophecy charts, and if Christ and his supremacy and majesty and glory isn't the dominant emphasis of our preaching, then we're missing one of the primary reasons of why God gives to his people this book. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, notice verse 1, which God gave him, so the Father to the Son, to show to whom? His bondservants. So when thinking about different Christians in a variety of places, Paul reminds them that you are bondservants of his. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel. So the Father to his son, Jesus, to an angel, and then notice how John identifies himself. Isn't this interesting? End of verse 1. It goes from God, the Father, to God, the Son, to an angel through the vision, to his bond servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. You say, well, what are you trying to get at here this morning, preacher? Well, I think I understand something of you. When I think about you when I write these sermons, you realize that this is not just a Bible study for me, as enjoyable as it is to spend time with God in his word. But no, it is that, but it is more than that. And I know something of you because I know something of me. Some of you are no doubt struggling to be genuinely excited over the prospect of serving the King of Glory throughout eternity. You said, I mean, you really had a great introduction this morning. Membership has its privileges. And then the first thing that you said was that as royal priests, we shall serve our sovereign God with joy and gladness. Did I hear you say service? Heavenly chores? The thought of heavenly chores frightens you a bit rather than thrills some of you, which is the exact opposite of what God desired. But I think I can help you alter, modify, and change your perspective. And in fact, in the quietness of your heart, if that's maybe what you were thinking, when I talked about what a great blessing it will be, that if you hold fast and are faithful to the end, as it were, your heavenly membership will receive privileges and blessings like this. I think I can turn this in from something that you look at maybe somewhat suspiciously into something that will motivate you and encourage you and thrill you and move you to be more faithful in service to God in the here and now. And the way I'm going to do this is by sharing with you an analogy in order to prove and drive home what a blessing and privilege this heavenly service actually is. If you are a hardcore sports fan, anyone out there love sports? I am. The prospect, think about this for a moment, of serving water on the sideline to your favorite team during the Super Bowl would be viewed as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity from the floor, the field level. Here, Mr. Rogers, would you like a Gatorade? Oh, Randall Cobb, can I give you this towel? Tell me if I'm wrong. Wouldn't people pay an awful lot of money for that privilege to serve? Now imagine if you're a favorite golfer. Even if you don't like golf, this illustration I think will connect. Say Phil Mickelson. He says to you, you know what? I want to give you the opportunity to carry my bags during the final round of the Masters. This is sacred greens at Augusta National in Augusta, Georgia. I mean, the course, even if you don't like golf, it takes your breath away. This would not be viewed as a job, would it? Phil Mickelson, me, final round, Masters. I'll carry two of your bags, right? For those of you who enjoy cooking, imagine if your favorite chef invited you to the White House to help prepare food for a state dinner. What? You, Barefoot Contessa, wanting me to help serve these guests and assist you in this way? Friends, this is why our maintenance man has a smile on his face when he's taking care of the Lord's house. See, Jim realizes the value of what he's doing because of who he's ultimately serving. He's serving the Lord's people, and he's serving the Lord. And so, isn't it amazing all that he does so well with a smile on his face? Jim Burns, bondservant of Christ. Friends, this is why we sing in our songs of worship, songs like this. Think about the how strange this sounds to the world, but how much sense it makes to us who know and love the Lord and who are known and loved by the Lord. We sing, down at your feet, O Lord, is the most high place. In your presence, Lord, we seek your face. And then we sing when we really open up, there is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy. Oh Lord, I live to worship and serve you. Beloved in Christ, there is no higher calling and no greater privilege than to serve the Lord of love with joy and gladness. What a privilege is spoken of here in this most wonderful book of the Bible that is Revelation. So this encourages us, this helps us to have a more biblical perspective. What is your ministry? Every person who belongs to the body of Christ has been given a spiritual gift to use for the edification of the body and the glorification of the Lord. So what is your ministry? How is it going? And in what manner have you been? Is it possible that some of us have kind of lost sight of the privilege that it is to be useful to the Lord in ways that his providence so directs our steps? Yes, as I think of this eternal privilege of heavenly membership, not only am I given a fresher and more biblical and accurate perspective on life and an eternal life to come, but I'm also convicted when I think about really what a blessing it is to be known by the Lord, to be useful to the Lord. I think many of us this morning probably need to pray right now, Father, forgive us for being so consumeristic when we come to worship you. Church, corporate worship is not about us. It doesn't matter if the music style and song selection is to your particular liking. That is secondary and peripheral. What matters in anything that happens in this church is, was the Lord God pleased? And if he is, that's enough. Father, forgive us for being so self-centered when we come home or when we're at home with our families. I have lost sight of the blessing and privilege to be called by name and to have the title and role of a bond slave of Jesus. You see, if you are a genuine Christian, God has made you fit to serve him as a doulos, to serve him as a slave, and as a royal priest. Now, I want you to catch this vision, because I said, as royal priest, we will serve our sovereign God. That comes from the throne of God and the Lamb. That's why I use that description of God. This is the first privilege of heavenly membership. As royal priests, we shall serve our sovereign God with joy and gladness. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, because I just want to show you why I'm using the phraseology royal priest instead of as bondservants. Both would be equally true. But look with me back a few books to 1 Peter chapter 2. Under the old covenant, Jews from the tribe of Levi were given the distinguished privilege, there's that word again, Levites were given the privilege of serving as what? Priests. If you were, according to God's sovereignty, a Jew and a Levite, you could serve the Lord. You'd have the blessing of serving the Lord. Obviously, people used to go to the tabernacle and then the temple. Having said that, God wanted the entire covenant nation, not just the Levites, to serve him, right? And to serve him with joy and gladness, which is why in Exodus chapter 19, you can write it down, look at it later, but in Exodus 19, 2 through 6, the entire nation of Israel is called a kingdom of priests. So the whole nation and those who truly believed were given this distinct honor of not only knowing the Lord, but of serving the Lord. Under the new covenant, which is what we're under, I want you to notice what is said of true believers. So in the old covenant, the nation is called a kingdom of priests. The Levites serve specifically as priest with responsibilities of doing whatever God would want to carry out his business in the tabernacle and temple. But notice what God says of us who belong to the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And coming to him, that is Christ, as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. Now follow me here. Verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a what? A holy priesthood. Wait a minute, I thought that the temple was destroyed and Jesus offered a once and for all sacrifice, so there's no need for physical sacrifices in this age of grace under the church. And that's true. But the sacrifices that we offer as a holy priesthood, notice verse 5, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And if that weren't enough, look at verse 9. Look at this, Brady. But you are a chosen race, a what? A royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Church, as royal priests, we should daily serve the Lord and serve the Lord's people with joy and gladness. Whether you're a homeschool mom or a business executive, whether you're an elder or a church member. As royal priests, according to verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, we should also pray that God would give us opportunities to declare the excellencies of our merciful God and Savior. Our God is great, and look at what God can do. Exhibit A, I once was helplessly hopeless and hopelessly helpless in bondage to my sin, but God in Christ made me alive. He infused life to my dry soul, gave me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that beats for him, and now it is my privilege as I know him in this way, to serve him, to serve him. And the Lord is willing to add more into his family who would come on his terms so that you too might know the joy, not only of salvation, but of ministry as royal priests to serve this great sovereign God. And may I say on this point, by way of encouragement, friends, the two of the things that Andrea and I love most about this local church, number one, is the joyful service of so many faithful servants of Christ. People often say, look, you know, this is not a 500-person church, but I look at your bulletin and I see, how is it possible that so many things are happening? And I say, you know? You get it. Most of you get it. The other thing that Andrew and I so love about this local church is the exemplary grace-motivated evangelism and worship. The grace-motivated evangelism and worship that is just so, it's not ordinary in the sense that it's no big deal, but it's just so commonplace around here. You see, many of you have discovered the gospel paradox that priestly service to God actually fuels the abundant life in Christ. Are you unhappy? Are you discontent? You maybe have lost sight of the joy and the gladness that it is for us to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord's people. You see, pastors shouldn't have to twist people's arms to get bondservants and priests out of the pew. Amen? Because what we do in the here and now as Christian servants is a dress rehearsal of greater things to come when we receive that glorified body. Sometimes the reason why we can't do what we'd like to do to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord's people, Rhonda Sukuma experienced that. Is she able to be here this morning, Randy? No, she's got this awful, awful back situation going on. It's frustrating her. It's not the pain that simply frustrates her. It's the fact that she's immobilized. This is why we need to realize in heaven, friends, we will receive a new glorified body that will never have an ache or pain. It will have no limitations. Oh, then we with greater fullness and greater vigor may serve the Lord. Isn't this book rich? Boy. The first eternal privilege of heavenly citizenship is as follows. As royal priests, we will serve our sovereign God with joy and gladness. This isn't my wish or prayer. This is the testimony of Scripture. If you look at verse 3, does not the word of God say this? Is this not an eternal privilege of heavenly citizenship? End of verse 3. And his bondservants shall serve him. Beloved, the dignity of this privilege corresponds with the greatness of the one we serve. You know, people say it was an honor of their life to be asked to serve the country, to be asked to come and be part of the White House cabinet. Some of you say, well, I haven't felt that way the last 12 years. Well, humans have various levels of respectability. I get that. But the one of whom we're going to serve forever is the benevolent, merciful, all-glorious, perfect, eternal, sovereign God. The second reason why this eternal privilege should excite us, the first is, it's amazing because God is amazing. I can't, to carry Phil Mickelson's bag at the Masters, well, it's because Phil the Thrill, you know, is a Hall of Fame golfer. Not that caddying is anything special. Same way it's true for serving the Lord. What a blessing. But the second reason why this eternal privilege should excite us is that believers will spend eternity carrying out an infinite variety of tasks that the limitless mind of God can conceive. Yeah, you said that was fast, so let me say it again. Believers will spend eternity carrying out an infinite variety of tasks that the limitless mind of God can conceive. That's not my thought, by the way. That comes from the book, Because the Time is Near. And I have to say that because some of you are thinking, you know, I'm afraid. I mean, if you do the same thing over and over again, you know, it kind of becomes drudgery. You know, it's like being a factory worker, you know. It's hard to sometimes get up for that, doing the same thing over and over and over again. But friends, listen to me. The words drudgery and boredom will not be in the dictionary once we cross over into the eternal state. We will participate in an infinite variety of tasks that the limitless mind of God can conceive. So don't worry about that. For those of you who are saying, you know, oh, maybe I'm just going to get tired of you know, doing whatever it is I'm going to be doing. No. How do we bring this clear passage of Scripture to a proper ending? Well, I don't know of any better way than to look at Revelation 7. I'm not going to preach the passage. I'm just going to read the passage and ask that you receive the passage in faith. Turn with me to Revelation 7. Here is another snippet of what we have to look forward to, a preview of future attractions. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Why are you so excited about heaven? Why do you long for it? Revelation 7, 9. After these things, I looked. Friends, see this with the eyes of faith this morning. I looked, and John says, I beheld a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, those who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And from where have they come? And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, verse 15, for this reason, they are before the throne of God, and what does it say? They serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. Why? Verse 17. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, shepherding his people, guiding them, verse 17, to the springs of the water of life, which make glad the city of God. And holy God, sovereign God, God himself shall personally wipe away every tear from their eyes. Friends, this is what I am trying to convey to you when I say that heavenly membership has its eternal privileges. Let us pray. Father, with the songwriter, we echo these blessed thoughts. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in thy excellent word. Oh, you have laid forth a foundation that is deep and firm
and beautiful, Lord, for us to stand upon this morning. We say with the songwriter, what more can you say than to what you have said? To we who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Benevolent Father, in your economy of grace, the honor, glory, and majesty are entirely yours to receive. This we understand, and this we joyfully give to thee. What we struggle with, Lord, is this. Why would you choose to extend so many earthly blessings and so many eternal privileges to undeserving sinners like us? Lord, love this amazing, this divine demands our life, our very best, our all. Help us to remember this week of who we are in you. We are royal priests and loyal bondservants of King Jesus. May we then walk in a manner worthy of you as we strive to be fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we ask all these things that you might be glorified in all that we say, think, and do. And all God's bondservants and royal priests said, amen.